Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I don't know if you can hear me. I'm having all kinds of technical problems. It's almost like I'm getting I'm going to get this figured out eventually. It's not like I haven't done this show once or twice. So welcome to Prism Radio, and it is January 11th, 2016. That's crazy, isn't it? January 11th, 2016. This is my 101st show. I tried to do this show 2 weeks ago, and I actually did it and then found out about 17 minutes of the show didn't come across. So if you are listening and you are on Facebook, would be great for you to let me know you can hear everything and everything is running and stuff. So let's see. I know there's a couple listeners on the Facebook page, so which I'm calling, I don't know who it was, but recently somebody called it the Book of the Face. So I'm calling it the Book of the Face, if I can just remember that. So it kind of fits with my my transformation to old womanhood. So I want to be that old woman, you know, that says really, really cool things. Then I can get really nasty with people, and then people could just dismiss it because I'm an old woman. So anyway, I got a few years to get to that point, but I'm going to work on it. So this is what Josh, thank you. Josh said he can hear me. So fantastic. So this is, again, 101st show. The title of this show is Face It, Caitlin Speaks for All of Us. Yeah, face it. Caitlin speaks for all of us. Of course, we're talking about Caitlin Jenner speaking for all of us. And you can read that in a couple ways, but speaking the whole transgender community, pretty much. So that's at least what I was meaning. So we're going to talk about the fact or the facts that Caitlin Jenner speaks for all of us. So before we get to that point, I do have to have a disclaimer. And my boss tells me to run this every show, and so I'm going to do it here in about a minute and 15 seconds. Please be aware that the opinions of our guests and our live callers is just that, their opinions, and may or may not reflect upon the opinions or views of Trans Women National, TWN Radio, Prism Radio, Holly Knight, or Julie Millwood. Also, although this show is usually suited for all ages, we do recommend that anyone under the age of 16 be accompanied with a parent or guardian. If you have any comments or questions, please let us know, and you can find more information on our website at www.transwomennational.org. Thank you. Welcome back to Prism Radio. My name is Holly Knight, and I am your host. Feel free to give us a call tonight. You can call 914-205-5000. 5655. Is that country enough for you? 914-205-5655. So those from the north probably doesn't know what those numbers are. But those numbers should be at the top of your screen if you're listening live. If you're listening live, I swear I hadn't had anything to drink. So if you're listening live, you can see the number at the top screen. Now, if you do call, I'll be watching the screen as closely as I can because I want to hear, I want some people to call and give me their opinion on this Caitlyn Jenner thing. We want to put this to rest. We want to, it's the last thing. Just face it. She is speaking for you. Give it up. Just stop trying to fight it. Just let the dark side win. So if you got any thoughts, got any comments, feel free to give me a call during the show. Now, if you are listening archive, which there'll be at least 2,000 or 3,000 of you listening to this archived. If you're listening to it archived and it's January 11th, 2016, and you got some thoughts on this for the next year or so, you can feel free to give me a email me at hollyann@gmail.com. Holly, A-N-N-K-N-I-G-H-T @gmail.com. So, as I said, we're talking about Caitlyn Jenner is the spokesperson for the transgender community. Clearly, she is. And I'm going to talk about why. Why is she the spokesperson? And why should you just give it up and just let her be the spokesperson and just kind of go along with it and stuff? So, first of all, who is Caitlyn Jenner? Maybe some of you don't know who this person is. So if you don't know, Caitlyn Jenner used to go by the name of Bruce Jenner. Now, some of you think about Bruce Jenner as the Keeping Up with the Kardashians TV star, the reality TV star. And in that regard, if that's all this person ever did, then, I guess it would be a bit, little bit different. So you're probably, maybe there's probably an age difference, like a separation of age of younger people that didn't know anything about Bruce Jenner, the track star. All you know is Bruce Jenner, the reality TV star of these people that come up on TV all the time. And reality TV being what it is a little bit different. It's really kind of interesting. You know, we admire someone that does TV shows kind of like the Orange is the New Black. It's a TV show. They're making tons of money pretending to be someone that they're not. But reality shows, that's a little bit different. How dare us accept somebody that is making tons of money playing someone that they are? And of course, there's probably scripts and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, that's the Bruce Jenner that most of you under, let's say, 30 for sure, probably know. I mean, probably a lot of us know the Keeping Up with the Kardashians, at least by now. But the Bruce Jenner that I know, the Bruce Jenner that I grew up, Bruce Jenner was the track star, was on the Wheaties box, was a hero to so many people across the world. And did so much. And as much as you like or don't like, the world has a tendency to put hero labels on athletes. And being a former athlete, and I was in college in 1976, and participated in track in high school. I did some of the things I never participated in decathlon, but I knew a lot of things that. The events and participated at a very mediocre level of all those events. But in high school, participated in ran some events and I high jumped a little bit. So decathlon, if you don't know, is 10 events, and you got to be a really amazing athlete to win that. It used to be, I don't know if they still do, but it used to be if you won the decathlon at the Olympics, you were considered the greatest athlete of the world, the greatest athlete in the world. And it's hard to say that you're not when you win that event. And the way they do that, it's not like you win the event, you get 1 point, and the person that gets second gets 2 points. It's based on the scoring. It's based on how well you do in each event. So you get like 100 points or something per event based on that. So You can look up the scoring and stuff. It's a little bit more complicated type of scoring. And Bruce participated in the Olympic Games in 1972. I believe he got third in the decathlon and came back and worked hard and ended up winning the gold medal in 1976 and broke the decathlon record. Is considered the greatest athlete at that 1976 in the world, and is actually held the record in 1976 till I don't know when it was broken after that. In fact, I'm not sure it was, but I'm sure it has, but I guess. But anyway, at least up until 1980, was considered statistically could be arguably the greatest athlete of all time. Of all time. It, just absolutely amazing. So this is this good-looking man on the Wheaties box and is now going around and making tours and inspirational tours. You don't win the decathlon and the gold medal Olympics purely on athletic ability. You win it on so much more: hard work, effort, dedication, commitment, those type of things. So this guy, as Bruce Jenner, was highly idolized and admired and respected for so long. Then, a year ago, Jenner announces that he's transgender. Now, again, for those that are somewhat knowledgeable about that word, transgender, that could mean a lot of things. But it's really interesting today when somebody announces transgender, it's almost like automatically you have to transition. Technically, you don't have to, and you shouldn't have to unless you wanted to. But now Bruce goes by the name of Caitlin, Caitlyn. Now, at first, there was a lot of comments about Caitlin and about how people were pretty pleased in the transgender community about how things were going. The first interview went pretty good. I remember being scared. I was worried that she was going to embarrass herself, embarrass everybody. But she did really, really good. And then, of course, she does this reality show. I don't know if you've seen the reality show, but the reality show was pretty interesting. I saw some of it. Didn't see all of it. Saw parts of two or three episodes for sure. And, you know, if you didn't see it, but it's kind of, in these reality, though, that type of reality show, they would bring over to the side some of the other trans, I think all women, all girls, over to the side, and they would interview them individually about their thoughts. And clearly they had concerns, Caitlin was saying, and doing and things like that. So she's on this reality show, and then she goes and wins awards, and she's on magazines, and she's out there. She's out there, no doubt at all. So one of the things that happened is then when I post the advertisement, the photo of this show that I titled "Face It, Caitlin Speaks for All of Us," clearly. clearly, that's a little kind of an attention grabber. You would assume. So when I posted these out in Facebook, if you're a part of the community, and you can only imagine some of the things that were said. So a lot of people, there wasn't very many, but there were a few. There wasn't very many saying, "Amen, yes, she does," that type of thing. But there were some, quite a few saying, "She does not speak for me," end of story. And the one after another, and even before I post that, when you see things about Caitlin, you see things often about, "She doesn't speak to me." That's why I even did the show. I get tired. I honestly, just to put this out on the table at this point, is just continuing to get tired of the bitching and moaning about Caitlyn Jenner. I'm just continuing to get tired of this stuff. And So that's pretty much what I'm here. So it's a bit tongue-in-cheek, a bit sarcastic, which I can be a little bit on occasion. And that's so I wanted to talk about this a little bit and try to put it in perspective, at least from my perspective, and about this. I did some promotion on it about 3 or 4 days ago, maybe a little bit longer. And somebody said something on there. It was really kind of interesting. And is a trans girl, young trans girl, said something like, "This is satire, right?" And I come back, and of course I'm promoting a radio show. I'm not going to give away a bunch of stuff. I want you to come and listen. So I said, just come and listen, and you'll know. And then she proceeded to comment on different things and said she believed, at first wasn't too bad. She believed that Laverne Cox and Janet Mock should be the spokespeople. And so I'm thinking, well, maybe she's talking about young trans people and people that's been around. I mean, how long has Laverne Cox been around that we know of in the public eye? A year, 2 years at most. I remember seeing something from her a couple of years ago on YouTube, I believe it was. Let's say 2 or 3 years. And as a public spokesperson, Janet Mock is about the same. So I'm thinking, well, okay, what about somebody that's been around a little bit longer, like Andrea James? She's been around a long time and did a lot. If you don't know who Andrea James is, she's out in L.A. and does a lot of stuff in movies and TVs and things like that. And she's a business partner with Calpurnia Adams, which is from The Soldier's Girl. And, of course, we're talking about the mid-'90s, late-'90s, that these two people paved a lot of pave the roads for us. They were people that was speaking for us at that time. And Calpurnia, in her own way, they're two completely different people. But Andrea did a lot of stuff in the TS Roadmap. She's the one that I'm pretty sure created TS Roadmap on multiple websites. The TS Roadmap, I don't know if you know much about it, but my goodness, probably the number one website of all time and at this point as far as helping transgender people. It was at one time about the only thing out there, and it was full of information, full of really, really good information. It still exists, and it's still good. I don't know if she keeps it as current, maybe because there is so much out there. And so I mentioned that, well, what about Andrea James? And she said something like, well, would figure that you would say someone that's white. I go, and so completely took me off guard. And I'm thinking, what are you saying? I'm a racist now? She goes, well, that's quite obvious. In the 3 minutes that we had this conversation, she has concluded that I'm a racist. And so that went, pretty sour pretty quickly at that point and everything. So, really, really kind of interesting. So people saying one after another, she says, someone says she does not speak for me, end of story. And I was cussed at and effing this and, wasn't actually spelling out on Facebook. But a lot of people getting very, very nasty, very, very angry. And if you've seen my posts and if you look at myself, I purposely did not put information out there. I purposely pretty much only said, use the banner, use the poster. I didn't say my opinion. I didn't give anything. I just put it out there. And people are jumping to so many conclusions. So I'm going to go a couple things. Is my observation, I have basically two observations. The second one is about the show. But my first observation is the rampant, jumping to conclusion disease that you see on Facebook. And I have this tendency because I'm older, I'm not the oldest person, probably. I've been around the block a while. I'm a teacher, educator, went to college to be an educator. And I don't know if you know this, but most educators, most teachers care about people. That's why they do it. And as a teacher, you have a tendency to give advice. That's just what you do. And so my first observation is piece of advice is this jumping to conclusion illness that people have. Don't determine what you think somebody is saying based on a heading in a Facebook post. It's absolutely ridiculous how many times people will go after stuff and then won't even read it, and then I'll click on the link and go read it. And a lot of times it's a conclusion based on that political view, maybe not Republican or Democrat political view, but that political view of that person, reading between the lines and kind of coming up with some conclusion. It's absolutely destructive and absolutely stupid to do. It makes no sense at all to read it. It's kind of been around forever. Don't judge the book by its cover. I mean, there's phrases, there's comments, there's all kinds of stuff, jumping to conclusions. There's a reason that we recognize those phrases, because people do it, and it's stupid to do. Just don't do it. Read it or shut up, basically. There's just too much out there for you to do this. We are in the middle of our rights, and we haven't by any means won anything. We're still fighting, and you got these people jumping up here and jumping on and yelling and screaming online and arguing with other trans people that's trying to do well, trying to do good. It is just absolutely crazy how perfect these people must be to have the ability or the gall to comment on other people's imperfections. And I'm going to be the first one to say, the only one to say on the show, then probably tell you that there's no doubt that Caitlyn Jenner has all sorts of imperfections. And so do I, so do you. We all have them. Get on my bandwagon a little bit. I think some of the problems is we feel like people have to be perfect. And we are also flawed. We're human beings. We make mistakes. It's just what we do. We drop stuff. We forget stuff. We get busy. We try really hard to do something and it comes out the wrong way. We are interpreted as racist when we say things that doesn't have anything to do with being racist, but it's interpreted that way. We make mistakes. We're flawed. Give everybody a break. Give yourself a break. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to continue to make mistakes. Relax, take a breath, and just, you know, allow people to make mistakes. And then it would make it a lot easier for you to allow yourself to make mistakes. So again, my first one, don't jump to conclusions. It's articles, blogs, radio shows. Maybe you might want to read or listen before you do. So really the observation that I'm talking about, the thing is, like, who does speak for you? Who is speaking for you? And really in this situation is these people are saying Caitlyn Jenner does not speak for them. So then who does? So I'm going to say, I think it was June of 2015, that's a magazine or an online magazine called Lifestyle YOU list the top 10 most influential transgender advocates as at that point. Now, who do you think they were? Who do you think would have been the top 10 at that point most influential transgender people? So number one was Caitlyn Jenner. And yeah, most influential. This magazine felt that she was as of June. Now, again, there's some things that happened since, some things she said since about stuff that may have taken her down a notch, but it depends on what you mean influential. In fact, if you want to be literal, you can be positively influential or you can be negatively influential. So it depends on how you look at that. And the title of this article says, despite the challenges they face, the transgendered, you know, clearly they don't know what they're talking about. They used ED at the end, but that's okay. Somebody just needs to explain it's not transgendered. It's like being blacked or being Asian'd or being balded. whatever. You know, it's not ED. It's the transgender. community can prove to be a great source of inspiration. And no doubt, I mean, the ability to come to conclusion that this is really who you are and to express that as that is who you are. How many people, how much poetry, how many books, how many songs have been written about how people have searched long and hard to discover themselves? And the transgender community does so much in that regard, and how difficult it is. And we talk about it all the time, but for those in the transgender community, we do it, and it's who we are, and we kind of do it despite fears. That despite those fears, we look at these fears face on, and we take these fears on, and we accomplish so much doing this. We do things in a transgender, simple people in the transgender community do so many extraordinary things every single day. And I know that these people that are on Facebook are saying that you don't speak for me, really are saying, I have so much to offer, I want to speak for me. And they do. These people have so much that they inspire. And being the president of Trans Women National, and I deal with this, and I was the president of Siena, I've been in this community for so long, I see every single day people that inspire me despite financial, physical, educational, employment, so many difficulties. It is just incredible. It is incredible. And so these people, the most influential, Caitlyn Jenner, number one. Number two, Laverne Cox. If you don't know who Laverne Cox is, she is the Orange and the New Black. She's a TV show. On a TV show, here's what they write in this article. Since playing a role in the successful series Orange is the New Black, Laverne has put her newfound celebrity status to good use. The outspoken actress is not shy of voicing her opinion and support toward the equality rights of the transgender community. She is not, and I've heard her speak, and I remember hearing her speak before. I don't even know if Orange is the New Black was out yet, but I have not. I haven't seen Orange is the New Black, I've heard her speak multiple times. Very impressive, very impressive. And she's a little direct, and I like that. And says a lot of really good things. We'll talk about here in a minute, hopefully. Chaz Bono, they listed Chaz Bono as number three. Chaz Bono, born Chastity's son, Bono, to famous parents Sonny and Cher. Chaz's journey is probably considered the most memorable stories of all time. Coming to terms with the fact that he felt different to his peers, Chaz made the courageous step undergoing gender reassignment from 2008 to 2010. Interesting how they put that. He's looking good. I got a picture here of him. And you know, I remember at the time he was doing a great job. I saw him on a talk show, and he did a really, really good job of speaking for the transgender community. In 2008 to 2010, Chaz Bono was speaking for the transgender community. Nobody said, Chaz isn't speaking for me. The reality was he was, and he did a good job. And maybe some people didn't like some things. I think he was on Dancing with the Stars maybe or something, which I didn't see that. But I think incredible story. Incredible story. Has done a good job. Carmen Carrera. After appearing on RuPaul's Drag Race, this trans model catapulted to reality TV fame. Carmen has appeared on various magazine covers and starred in interviews alongside other famous transgender celebrities, including Laverne Cox. She's kind of pretty, if you've seen her. Yeah, she's got. She's a pretty girl. She was on RuPaul's Drag Race, which at one time probably would have given her some negative points. For representing the transgender community. If you don't get that, that's for another show. I have not heard her speak too much. I don't know where she's coming from that way. Interesting enough, currently, if you take away Laverne Cox, Chaz hadn't been around since 2010. And if you take away Caitlyn Jenner, Carmen would be the top spokesperson, top influential person in the transgender community. Candace Kane, number five, playing Carmelita on primetime series Dirty Sexy Money. Candace was the first transgender actress to play the role of the reoccurring trans character. Didn't last very long, but if I understand this right, they actually manned up her the voice on the show to make her come across more as trans, which is a little offensive, I guess. Very pretty. Think she was also on the show with Caitlyn. I think if that's the one, again, I'm not sure, has done a good job. Now, Fallon Fox, after coming out as transgender in 2013, Fallon became the first ever transgender fighter in the history of mixed martial arts. Now, that's a true fighter. I think they're being like a figure of speech also, Fallon Fox. So she was number six. Isis King, number seven. Another one to prove this beauty comes in all different forms. Isis became the first ever transgender contestant in America's Next Top Model history. A very pretty girl. Number eight. So they go back a little bit here. Renee Richards. Renee made trans rights history in 1977 when she won the ability to compete in professional tennis tournaments as a woman. 1977. Interesting enough, the year after Bruce won the decathlon. 1977, she fought for her right to play tennis as a woman. Absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible. I think she would be a pretty decent spokesperson for the community. Lana Wakawiski. I know who she is. I don't know how to pronounce it. I hadn't heard it enough, I think. Anyway, alongside her brother Andy, Lana has become a well-respected name in Hollywood, producing and directing a number of films, including the Matrix series and Cloud Atlas. Now, if I understand it right, Lana did not come out as trans until after, not too long ago, until way after the Matrix movies came out. Anyway, interesting person. And then Alexis Arquette. Since identifying as a female from a young age, Alexis has always been a familiar face within the transgender community, enjoying a variety of big screen roles. As actress, probably the one that springs to mind most is Arquette. She's my brother, detailing her journey from male to female. So that's interesting. My brother said he was going to write a book and said, my sister killed my brother and I don't have a sister or something like that. So you got to know my brother. It was not derogatory from his perspective anyway. So anyway, that's the top 10. I don't know if you notice anything, but I'm going to take a break here. We're going to say, if you notice anything about those 10, and there's other lists out there, but if you notice anything about those 10, think about it. And if you want to write it up on Facebook, you want to call, you want to talk about those 10. These are the most influential transgender advocates as of around June 2010. Would they be the ones today? Would it change? Just like any top 10 list. Top 10 list probably would change every month. But how would it change? Who would you put in there? Who would you not put in there? So going to get a little bit of a commercial, and we'll be back here in a little bit. Hey there, did you know you could call in live to ask questions or even make comments at 914-205-5655? When you call, please be patient, and we'll get to you as soon as we can. You will be able to listen to the show live as you wait. The number is 914-205-5655. The number is also on the Blog Talk Radio page where you are currently listening live. You can also participate in a live chat on our Trans Women National Facebook page. The link is available on the Blog Talk Radio page or our website. Thank you, and back to the show. Oh, how come you don't call me anymore? So anyway, again, you can give me a call at 914-205-5655. That number is at the top of your screen. And I'm on Facebook. You can make some chats here. Excuse me, I got to make a cough. Okay, I'm back. So you can make some include some chats. Josh on Facebook said he's referring to jumping to conclusions. He wrote this back a little bit earlier. But Josh said, excellent point. It's definitely prevalent in my generation to categorize others within really rigid categories with very little criteria or evidence to place people into these categories. We judge off looks, off our words that hits us the wrong way. It's sad. You can't grow if you don't budge. That's amazing, Josh. I like that. You can't grow if you don't budge. That's going to be a title of the show. I need to steal that. I'll take full 100% credit for it, too. But anyway, no, I won't. So really, really good. I'm not sure, Josh. I'm not positive, but I think that's probably not your generation, I wouldn't say. It's probably a category. It just seems to me if you do two things in your life, if you live long enough, you're going, one of the first thing, if you live long enough, you're going to experience a lot of things. But the second thing you have to do is open yourself up to things, up to experiences, partly what Caitlin is dealing with. Before I transitioned, before I walked out into the world, I never walked into a gay bar. And I knew one guy that may have been gay. I wasn't sure. This, of course, in college in the 70s. And if you were, you didn't say too much. And I went to a very conservative Christian college, so they weren't going to go around advertising it if they were. I was in athletics, I was in education, I was in colleges. My career as a coach and a teacher was in universities. And then gradually I started working. I worked with a gay guy that at the school I was at, got to be good friends with him. Still, I'm good friends with him. And but you don't experience things in a certain way. You don't walk amongst some people, some situations, that type of thing. You don't really realize things. You can't budge because you're not in a situation to budge. There is no doubt in my mind, people like Caitlyn Jenner, and you see this in great athletes, high-level athletes that are put in situations where they are highly protected. Nobody will tell them really what they think. In movie, the Tom Hanks of the world, I'm not sure, but how many times, maybe Tom's wife, and maybe that's what's kept Tom somewhat grounded in a sense, but you get in a situation where I bet Michael Jackson, I bet, was in that situation. Nobody's going to tell you what to do. Nobody's going to say, you are really messing up your life and it go anywhere, because that person's going to have 30 people that can go somewhere else and get confirmation and get support and everything that they are doing fine. I do know, like, my undergraduate degree was in health, and there was some of the things we talked about, like an alcoholic people or any time you did an intervention, and some of the things that, if you've ever been involved in intervention of trying to get someone to change their world, it requires 100% participation. Let's say in a family, there can't be one or two people that are weak, because that person that has the problem will go to those one or two to get confirmation, to get support. And these highly, highly successful people don't get people telling them, you need to get your act together. You need to stop this. You need to change this. So I think those two things I think there's a maturity thing. I think obviously maturity is a combination of age and, or at least experience, but you have to open yourself up to certain experiences, and you have to be around some things to do that. And most of us don't put ourselves in that situation. I think when you transition, especially those of us that are not like Caitlin and that are in the so-called real world, we sometimes are thrown into worlds that we didn't really expect. And for me, on my side, I'm happy that I did. It's opened up some things that I have learned about myself and learned about people. But It is. You can't grow if you don't judge. I mean, you can't grow if you don't budge, because you are judging. And a lot of times people, like she doesn't speak for me, and all that we're talking about is that you start blaming other people. You start not taking certain accountability for yourself, and you're not going to grow there either. So thank you for that comment. Continue with the comments. So Joseph, otherwise known as the Joe, said, I have to say, just a few years ago, I was in a place thinking about I was too old. And he says at 47, so I can say that on air since he's already put it in public, to come out. Then Caitlin comes out. I give her some credit for helping me see it's not too late. Sweetie, if 47 is too late, then I waited way too long. But you're right. And I think that's the thing, too. And I think that's, again, this is just age and it's experience and what I've seen, things that people that try to find the good in everything, I think are just happier. You get these people that are trying to find negative in all things is just going to be miserable. And I don't want to be around miserable people. It just wears me out. So anyway, I was asking before I left, and if you noticed anything about those 10, the 10 most influential people. So here's what I noticed, and you can let me know what you think. So number one, you get the 10. Again, we're going to say it again. Caitlyn Jenner, Laverne Cox, Chaz Bono, Carmen Carrera, Candace Kane, Fallon Fox, Isis King, Renee Richard, Lana Wachowski. Shouldn't say it again. What, Alexis Arquette. If you know who they are and anything about it, if you notice the thing, number one, if you notice, Caitlyn Jenner's at the top of the list. She is the one that is speaking. And if you think about it, too, is she's speaking the loudest. She is the most influential transgender advocate person. She has the mic, so to speak. That's what she's got the sage. Stage. She's speaking to people. Here's a thing that you may have forgotten. Caitlin broke President Barack Obama's Twitter record for the shortest time to reach 1 million followers, achieving the mark with her Caitlyn Jenner account in 4 hours and 3 minutes. Not only did she top all transgender people, she topped the President of the United States faster than the President of the United States. Again, it could be some people that like to watch train wrecks, too. So it doesn't have to be because they are completely in support of this, what's going on. They just want to kind of follow it a little bit. So number one thing I noticed is Caitlyn Jenner's at the top of the list. Who doesn't speak for you? Number two is, you haters, you're not even listed. You're not on here. I didn't even see an honorable mention. Any of you on Facebook that said she doesn't speak for you, you're not on here. At least if you are, you got a different name. So who's speaking for you? Is it you or is it Caitlyn Jenner? I'm just saying. The other thing is, if you look at these, most of them have a strong entertainment background. And I mean that, like Caitlyn Jenner's got the entertainment background of course, the reality show. Laverne Cox, the TV show. Chaz Bono with her parents. Excuse me, with his parents and with his the Dancing with the Stars and things like that. He made a big scene, a lot of things. Carmen Carrera, she was involved with entertainment. Candace Kane, TV show. Fallon Fox, not entertainment, in sports. Isis King, she was the model, if I remember right. So probably not entertainment, but you can say not TV entertainment, but it was on TV. So that's entertainment. Renee Richards, sports. Lana, entertainment. Alexis was big screen roles, actress, probably was basically about her show. So got Caitlyn 1, Laverne 2, Chaz 3, Carmen 4, Candace 5, Isis 6, Lana 7, Alexis 8. 8 of them are in the entertainment industry. Find that really kind of interesting. personally, I if I was going to speak of the most influential, I personally don't like selecting people from the media because I think they have a tendency to be very protected and protective of what they say. They come across as, a lot of times, as perfect. Of course, Caitlin has not been, although I'm sure there's been some protections there, what she has said. I prefer people than in so-called real world, experiencing real world. So it would be like Fallon and Renee would be probably people in that regard. That's just my preference and everything. Not that they don't have a lot to offer. But that's the top 10 most influential. Something that I also noticed is how many of these, and this is my new phrase, and I don't know if it's, I don't like it necessarily, or I'm not sure about it, but you've heard of preaching to the choir. I think you probably have heard preaching to the choir. So basically, the general principle is when I am in a meeting and it's 15 other trans women, let's say, and we are talking about the hatred, we're talking about all of the stuff that we have to deal with, and we're talking about what we think about that. We're all talking to the same choir. We're preaching to the choir is the phrase. It's not making any that, I mean, in that group of 15, what matters should be going on is how do we deal with this? How do we get out of this? What can we do to change it for a positive instead of a negative? But talking to these people. So preaching to the choir basically is talking to people that's already getting it, that already gets it, that already understands that's part of the choir. So I'm coming up with for temporarily to generally, because there's a the what's going on is that what we got to do is preach to the congregation. And to me, the congregation is not necessarily people that have bought in completely. They don't completely get it, but they're there to listen. The third group is the people that's not even in the church, and they could care less anyway. Now we got to try to get them in the church somehow. But the people that really matter are the people that are in the congregation. It's the choir is maybe these 10 people. It would be like this, these 10 people talking about the 10 most influential people about how tough it is to be transgender. They all get it. They all understand it. They all been going through it. No matter what you say, Caitlin has gone through all kinds of crap for this and is going to and has taken all kinds of hits and losses because she has transitioned from Caitlin to Chaz to Isis to Renee, all kinds of things. Now, they've all fell on their feet for the most part, but they have struggled. They're the choir. When they go out and speak, they can't speak to the choir. Who of these 10 are speaking to the choir? When Laverne Cox talks, who hears her? Most likely the choir. When Chaz talked, who heard him? It wasn't the choir. Chaz was on, was it David Letterman, was on shows that people may have never even seen a transgender person before, didn't even know they even existed. Carmen, Candace, Fallon maybe, not sure. Isis, Renee was playing tennis against people that was not seeing. Renee was playing tennis against the congregation. So who's, what we have to do is speak to the congregation. We have to get people into the church again, but we have to speak to the congregation. Who of this group is speaking to the congregation? Not the choir the most. Caitlyn Jenner is. There's no doubt. She's talking to Republicans. And I made this comment. I'm going to say this, is that, there's two sides of this, but I'm going to say this. People, right when people are talking about how can Caitlyn Jenner be conservative and Republican, and I made the comment, if you can't understand, I'm going to say this twice so you understand this, and then I'll explain it. If you cannot understand how a transgender person can be conservative, can be a Republican, then you don't understand transgender. Being transgender doesn't have anything to do with your political thing. You become transgender because that's your gender. That's basically saying, how can you be Republican if you're a girl? How can women be Republicans? How can women be conservative? How can men be Democrats? It's your identity. In reality, your identity is just who you are. That's who you are. We don't go from one identity to another. We accept who we have been all of that time, and now we accept that and we exist fully as that identity. There's no changing going on. And it's a lot of times when people talk about this, so how much have you changed? Mentally, I haven't changed one bit. Now I've grown older and I've learned a little bit more. But who I am in my mind isn't different. It's always been there. It's always the same person in thereabouts. Sometimes I'm smarter. Sometimes I'm dumber. Sometimes I'm whatever. Caitlyn Jenner is the same person as Bruce Jenner was, just looks different, and now matches up with who that person is. Now, there's some changing. Now, will the transgender person slowly become a little bit more toward liberal politics? Probably. But those that don't get it, it's like all of a sudden, once you become transgender, you got to pick a side. It's ridiculous. Give her some time to figure it out. She has not experienced things that you have. But I tell you what, I bet you Laverne Cox is making a ton of money. I understand she makes something like $100,000 just for an hour. No, she's at $75,000. I think Caitlyn's $100,000. Janet Mock is like $60,000 just for an hour of presentation. When you get them to speak, Laverne Cox is making $75,000. And what I understand is it's an hour. It's not an hour and 45 minutes. It's not meet and greet before and after. It's like, okay, here's my hour. Give me my $75,000. So, and she was on TV. She's not hurting by any means. If you want to talk about that you can identify with Laverne Cox, then you better be making $75,000 an hour on a TV show that's number one, been a top TV show. You better be able to say you can identify with that. Can you identify with Chaz Bono? No way. You can identify with his gender, but if you are a trans man, possibly. Carmen Carrera? No way. Nobody's that gorgeous. Candace been on TV? No. Fallon Fox? Probably not. A boxer, trans woman, she's attractive. Isis? No. Renee? No. Nah. Lana? No. Alexis? No. If you think you can identify with any of them, then you're probably way off base. They don't represent anybody. They represent themselves. I mean, the uniqueness of that. Okay. So, strong entertainment background. And who's preaching to the congregation? And the thing is that we said way before Bruce decided to tell the world about Caitlyn, decide to tell anything. We said what we really need in this community is someone that is perceived as just as a man. Because Laverne and Janet, I mean, Janet's gorgeous. Janet Mock's gorgeous. You got all these very, very attractive women that come on the scene as women. Most of them, if there's been pictures and stuff, but they didn't know the person as a man. Chaz did really good for the guys and did really good for the transgender community because they knew Chaz as the girl. I knew Chaz as the girl. I remember growing up watching Chaz as the girl. But we said we need this man that may be conservative. I mean, it would be really beneficial for our community. We don't need another person that is just representing this one group. We need somebody representing the conservative group, the athletes, this other group of people. And we got it. And there's a lot of people who don't like that. So something else I noticed about the group, there's only one guy. There was a basketball player, I can't remember his name, very admirable, kind of came on a scene maybe before this. So I would probably... played basketball with the women, but came out as a trans man. Continued to playing as a guy, as the guy, but in the women's team. Really kind of interesting, but only one guy. Should be more than that in there. People of color. Clearly, there's a couple people of that are not Caucasian. I think from what I can, that I know about these people, looks like at least two or three, three probably, maybe, not sure about, yeah, getting derogatory at this point, trying to guess people in that way. But the other thing I noticed, it's a diverse group. It's extremely diverse. Really, if you talk about any of these people, there's not a lot. Maybe Carmen and Candace has something in common. Maybe Fallon Fox and Renee Richards has a lot in common other than the age, both being athletes. And, of course, Caitlin, Renee and Fallon has something in common there. But as a group, as a presentation, they're very, very diverse. So what I'm noticing, who's missing from the group? Janet Mock is missing from the group. Why is she not in there? And I was looking at the list. Maybe there's some reason why most of them are entertaining. If all of them were entertainment, then it would be influential entertainment-wise, but they're not all entertainment. Renee Richards clearly was not in entertainment. It's interesting that they brought somebody from back a few years. Janet Mock, if you don't know who Janet Mock is, she's pretty incredible in her own right. She's not in the entertainment world. She's a writer. Somebody else not on this list is Amanda Simpson. Do you know who Amanda Simpson is? It amazed me. It continues to amaze me. I don't know if it's by design from Amanda's point of view, but it amazes me that Amanda Simpson did not become more out and spokesperson, because she has history in that area. So Amanda Simpson is the first ever trans person to be appointed by a president. So she, at the time, was a member of the National Center of Transgender Equality Board of Directors. She was been around a while and did a lot of things. She was a test pilot and did quite a bit, but she was appointed by President Obama as a Commerce Department in 2010. Nobody knows. I mean, talking about an incredible person. Read up on Amanda Simpson. I remember for a long time, and even at this point, if it was up to me, I would put number one who I want to speak for us. Number one, I would probably put Janet Mock. Number two, close to, I would put Amanda Simpson. And again, that fits my thinking, is because they're neither one of them are in entertainment world. And again, it's nothing that I have against the entertainment world. I just think that it causes a little bit of conflict of interest there a little bit. Amanda Simpson, politically, I've actually talked to her a little bit on, I've met Janet Mock, and I've talked to Amanda Simpson on email. And actually tried to get Amanda on the radio show a couple times, and because of the political nature of her job, she had to really go through all kinds of red tape, like the Pentagon or something, just to get her on the show. So those two are missing that I've noticed. So I'm going to take another break here and see if you can kind of come up with other missing points of those 10. Who would you put on there? You can send me a Facebook message if you want to. You can call in or send it to me later after you hear the show. I just saw something on Facebook, pretty good little post. So anyway, I will be back here in just a second, see if I can find. I was going to do a... I'll do the call-in commercial here again. I'm sorry. Hey there. Did you know you could call in live to ask questions or even make comments at 914-205-5655? When you call, please be patient, and we'll get to you as soon as we can. You will be able to listen to the show live as you wait. The number is 914-205-5655. The number is also on the Blog Talk Radio page where you are currently listening live. You can also participate in a live chat on our Trans Women National Facebook page. The link is available on the Blog Talk Radio page or our website. Thank you, and back to the show. Welcome back, and we are at Prism Radio talking about the impact of Caitlyn Jenner and who speaks for us and things. Let me ask you, this person is just kind of come onto the scene recently, and I didn't know if you've heard of this person, and it was just something I found today that happened, I believe, back a couple months ago. So let's see. Well, it actually happened in 2014, so it's pretty sad. You may have heard of her. You may have heard what's happening, but and I feel like sometimes I'm connected, but not nearly as much as I could. So if you've heard about it, I apologize for repeating it. But so President Obama has appointed Rafi Friedman Gerspan to serve as the Outreach and Recruitment Director in the Presidential Personnel Office. Formerly the Racial and Economic Justice Initiative Policy Advisor at the National Center for Transgender Equality, Friedman Gerspan starts her new job at the White House today. Transgender persons have worked in civil service positions in various federal agencies or have been appointed to presidential commissions and boards previously. Friedman Gerspan is the first openly transgender appointee to work inside 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Rafi Friedman Gerspan demonstrates the kind of leadership in this administration champions. Leadership this administration champions. Valerie Jarrett, senior advisor to President Obama, told The Advocate, her commitment to bettering the lives of transgender Americans, particularly transgender people of color and those in poverty, reflects the values of this administration. Absolutely pretty cool. And talking about, you know, somebody that has been speaking for us, at least in, for a lot of people in the community and stuff, is working at the White House, trans woman. So pretty cool. If you get a chance, look it up. Rafi, Raffi, Friedman, Friedman, hyphen Gerspan, Gerspan. So we can add her to that list, hopefully. At some point after we get past this and everything. So to conclude a little bit here, and then I've got a couple announcements, but to conclude on this view, my perspective of this is that Caitlyn has the mic right now. Chaz had the mic in 2010. Every so often, Laverne had the mic a couple, maybe a year ago. Somebody else will have the mic next year and that type of thing. The really cool part of this is that in some aspects, Caitlyn does represent a large number of us, but also a large number of us are represented by Carmen Carrera, let's say, as far as different aspects. You can identify with that person a little bit more. But not only these 10, we have all these other advocates out there, from Dawn Wilson to Monica Roberts down in Houston, to Julie Lampe on the radio show, to all kinds of people that are out there speaking for the transgender community, at least from a smaller to a larger. There's a lot of mics out there. It takes, as Julie says, it takes a village. It takes a world of people that are speaking. And if it ever got to be a point there was just one person talking, then we would be in trouble. The cool thing is there are hundreds of people out there talking, and it needs to be. And everybody that knows you, you as a listener, if you're transgender or you talk about transgender, if they know you and they know Laverne and they know Caitlin and they know Chaz, then they know there's four different people. The amazing thing about people have to know about transgender thing is it's just about gender. It's, we are as diverse as all the women in the world and all the men of the world and all the whatever, just people. We are extremely diverse. And not one person really speaks for any of us. That person still, Caitlin is still just speaking for her. In reality, people that make any kind of or have any understanding realize that that person cannot speak for a whole group of people. If they don't get that, then they think President Obama is speaking for all presidents. Or they think all these people, they have to understand that in any educated person, if they're not educated, we're not going to help them anyway. They're beyond help. If they don't get it, if they don't have enough understanding to know that one person only speaks for themselves, I only speak for me, and you only speak for you. And what I'm going to tell you, if you're going to take anything away from this, stop saying hateful, mean things to Caitlin. Let her do her thing. Let her grow. Let her develop. And I will say this before, I've said it again, if you go, I'd say 99% of us, other than the young ones, you young trans people, you've got so much more going for you, only as far as knowledge, only because Facebook exists now, the internet exists now, and you got all these people have walked the walk before you got here. And now you get it a lot better because these people have done all of these things for you. Caitlin hasn't experienced that because she was just in that land of Oz that she's been in the Emerald City. So she's let her figure some things out. Let her get some knowledge, some experience, and some wisdom on that. And she says that. I don't even know if she's ever said that she's the spokesperson. She hasn't. The media has done that. It's not really her fault in that regard. She's just doing what she's going to do. And if you, again, those that are over 30 or 40 or 50, I will speak for myself. If you took me at that same stage, the first year that I walked out of the home as me, and you interviewed me and put me on camera and asked me all kinds of stuff, I'm making a jerk of myself a lot more than I do now, and I still do. But I am just saying some of the dumbest things because I had no clue. Just because I transitioned and just because now I look fabulous or whatever doesn't mean that I get it. I had to learn. I had to walk out there and stuff. Give the, you know, just it just takes time. And give some people some time. Give some people a break. She said some stupid things. I get it. She has done some stupid things. I get that. She doesn't talk for you. You talk for you. If you're ready for you to talk for you, then stand up and talk for you. Stop complaining about her. Do your job and talk to you, the 200 people that you get a chance to talk to. And that really is who matters. So, get over it. You talk for you. So, couple announcements here. I just noticed that I'm going to throw this out here. It looks like maybe there's a comment. Hold on. See if there's a comment there. I agree, Joseph. He says, I find the top 10 list to be a reflection of a society that is more obsessed with folks in entertainment and sports rather than things that are more important, such as education, social justice, and politics. Exactly right. And as a former athlete, I agree 100% with that. We need to be more, things are more important than the entertainment business and the sports business too. But again, I'm biased. I would probably take athletes before entertainment. But if you're going to get rid of one, I'd get rid of both of them as far as being spokespeople. The real human beings that have to walk the walk and talk the talk every day in front of their children, in front of people that they support, to exist in that regard and not having a script written for them are the people that I would like to put on the top 10 list. Thank you, Joseph. Thank you for listening and participating. So Let's see if I can find this post here. I don't know if this will work. Let's see. While I'm looking here, Julie and I were talking about, let me know, would be kind of interesting if we brought in a couple of different types of shows. One of the shows I think she would be really good at, and we maybe found a couple more people that might be interested in it, that I got another comment here. So like a Siskel and Ebert about trans-related movies, TV shows, that type of thing, like a review show or something. Maybe some different ideas instead of just a blog and, you know, some really cool types of things. An old friend I've known for a long, long time just sent a post. Her name is Dawn. She said she is the face, talking about Caitlin, she is the face of the media. She is the face the media has chosen. Before her, it was RuPaul. And before RuPaul, it was Christine Jorgensen. The media picks those individuals. And I think we're as different as we are in numbers, for each of us dressing as personal and sometimes private. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that whether people want to admit it or not, the general people out there that are watching all this kind of stuff just saw Chaz a few years ago, now sees Caitlin, now ever so often to Laverne and see Janet and hear about this and see this person and stuff. And they were saying, wait a minute, they're all not RuPaul. They're all not Caitlin. They're all not one thing. They're all different. So, when they stop having the ability to put us in this box, then they start trying to figure each of us out individually. And that is a good thing, in my opinion. And I'm sorry, but there was a post by Julie, and see if I can find it here, that it really is good. Darn it. Here we are. Okay. It's transgender conferences. I think it's something that would be good. It's by trans guys. So I don't know if they did this is a pretty good website, transguys.com, by the way. Wow, really good website. Interesting polls, surveys, reference. They've done a lot of work on this. So they've got I don't know if it's just for the guys. I see some of them here that I recognize, so I don't think it's all just for the guys. But the conferences at a glance. They got one called the First Event, which is Waltham, Massachusetts, January 20th to 24th. The Keystone Conference I've heard about, that's Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, March 9th to the 13th. Here's a really good one, Transgender Lives, Intersection of Health and Law Conference, Farmington, Connecticut, April 30th. Black Trans Advocate Advocacy Conference, Dallas, Texas, April 25th to May 1st. Trans Ohio, Trans and Allies Symposium, Columbus, Ohio, May 13th to 15th. I spoke at that a couple years ago. Here's a Sparkle. It's in the UK. Texas Transgender Non-Discrimination Summit. It's in Texas, of course, in Texas. Killen, Texas. Then... I don't know if this is a mistake or what. It's called the Transmission Retreat. It doesn't do anything trans asterisk mission. It just says Transmission Retreat. I got a feeling I know what that means, but it's phrased kind of interesting. It goes all the way. The last one listed here is the Fantasia Fair, Provincetown, Massachusetts, October 16th, 23rd. There's more of these conferences out there. But really a good post here that's on the Trans Women National Facebook page. So speaking of that, we have Trans Women National. It's a national organization for trans women. And we have a website, a Facebook page, Trans Women National. If you go looking for it, it is a private page. You have to get, you have to be accepted. You have to join a request, and then we have to we do all kinds of background search. And I'm just kidding, but we also have a website, transwomennational.com. More information about the radio show and about our group. If you are from the Louisville area, we meet once every month, the third Saturday at 6 o'clock for a couple of hours. And we have a week every week at 6 o'clock to about 10 o'clock at the Chill Bar here in Louisville. We have like a social outing. We do some other things, and we are currently having a fundraiser, a raffle fundraiser that is to raise money to pay some bills from our Trans Women National Conference or our Trans Women National Banquet. So that information will be on our website. We'll start promoting that online. But if you know any of the officers, we're selling them. They're $10 for one ticket. And if you want to buy three tickets, they're $25. It's for a Valentine's weekend, one night at the Galt House here in Louisville with a $100 gift card, breakfast, champagne, that type of thing. It's all worth about $350. So it's a really good deal. And check with me if you want some more information on that. We'll be glad to get you a couple tickets. So what is it saying? You can't win if you don't play. So anyway, that's the thing. Again, to finish it up here, appreciate you listening. We have Julie is going to be on next week. She goes the first and third Monday at 8 o'clock of each month, and then I do the second and fourth. If it's the fifth Monday, that both of us do it together. I think there's going to be a fifth one in March. So, again, that's 8 o'clock, and you can get more information on the transwomennational.org website on our Facebook page. You can contact me at hollyannknight@gmail.com. And that should be it. If you've got any questions or any comments, let us know. And remember, you can listen to us, subscribe to us on iTunes and stay in contact. And it's an automatic download, and listen to it while you're jogging, while you're walking, while you're driving, you know, anytime you want to listen. So with that said, we're going to finish it up here tonight. And we will see you in a couple of weeks. Hope you have a good evening, and I will talk to you later. Good night.
Listen, dear, I realize that you've been hurt deeply, because I've been there. But regardless to who, what, why, when, and where, we're all precious in His sight. And a rose is still and always will be a rose.